PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
For us, the woods are a great place to visit. But for many animals, this is home. This very forest is alive with animals. In fact, I've got a feeling that someone or something is watching us right now. We can't see the animals because some hide from people, while others only come out at night. Here's an adventure about some nighttime creatures and what they did while no one was looking. It's called Raccoons and Ripe Corn.
Raccoons and Ripe Corn by Jim Arnosky. Read by Julia Barr. It is autumn. Leaves from trees near the edge of a farm sail over the cornfield. The silk at the top of the ears of corn is turning brown. The corn is plump and ripe. At night, a mother raccoon and her almost grown kits sneak into the cornfield. The raccoons walk between the rows of corn. They climb the tall stalks and pull the ears down to the ground. They peel away the green husks that cover the yellow kernels. All night long, the raccoons feast on corn. They pull down more corn than they can eat. At sunrise, the raccoons hurry back into the woods. Wind whistling through the trees sends autumn leaves sailing out over the field of ripe corn.
Raccoons and Ripe Corn is a true story. But Jim Arnosky, the man who wrote it, never saw a single raccoon in that cornfield. He only saw clues from the night before. Animal tracks, fallen corn stalks, and teeth marks on the ears of corn. Jim studied the evidence and turned it into a story. Well, today, we're gonna spend the day with Jim. He'll show us how to become wildlife detectives by looking for clues to nature's secrets. Welcome to Ram Tales. Jim and his family live on this Vermont farm. Chances are you'll find Jim outside, mending a fence or fishing or gardening. But whatever else he's doing, he's also observing. Jim is a naturalist, a scientist who studies nature. His laboratory is the woods, ponds, and streams around his home. He looks at things closely, and the closer he looks, the more he finds. As he hikes in the woods, Jim looks like any other scientist. But Jim is also a writer and artist. And when he looks at the hidden world around his farm, he finds stories to sketch and share with others. When Jim returns home, he turns his notes into books for children. But he doesn't stay inside very long, for outdoors, there are many more stories waiting to be discovered.
Okay. Here you go. Get in there. There you go. Jim! LeVar!
Hi, how you feeling today?
Pretty good. One of the lambs got out. I had to put her back in with her mother.
I see. So, what are we gonna do today?
Well, I thought we'd take a walk to some of the places that I go to look for animals or animal signs. And we're gonna need a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a pair of binoculars for you.
All righty.
In case we see something in the distance. And a pair for me.
All righty.
And since we're gonna be near water, and we may wanna walk in it, I brought a pair of waders for you.
Wader? Ooh, yay. All right.
Okay. Don't put them on, because it's hot, and we just save them till we get to the water.
Okay.
And a pair of waders for me. All right?
Just throw them over our shoulders,
just like that, right.
Okay. That's it, huh?
And that's it. Are you ready?
You bet.
Okay.
Let's follow you.
Let's go. The place I want to take you to is a little brook behind my farm.
Okay.
And the reason is that the best place to look for wildlife is around water.
All animals need water, huh?
That's right. We need water. Look here.
What's
Here's
that?
An animal sign.
Wow.
A raccoon came through here, probably during the night.
Now,
they're so fresh.
How can you tell that?
Well, you could see these are raccoon prints because I can identify the front foot print here. Here's another front footprint of the raccoon, and this is the hind footprint of the raccoon. And the hind footprint of a raccoon looks like a human's footprint almost, and that's how I can identify that.
I see.
And the raccoon walked through. It didn't come and stop to drink. Can you tell how I know that?
I can't even begin to imagine how you can tell that.
Well, because the footprints show a walking pattern, and they didn't stop. And if the raccoon was going to come for a drink, he would have walked up to the water and stopped and drank. And then his footprint pattern would have been more squared off.
Ah, the signs would be different.
That's right. And that's how we read these signs when we're looking for wildlife pictures to create. Now, when I'm at a place like this, besides animal signs, I like to look for little details that I might be able to add in my drawings.
Like what?
Here's a perfect example. See this colorful leaf? Now that leaf is bright yellow against this dark mud.
Right.
And if you look at this leaf, it has very fine green veining.
Right. Oh, and there's also some orange in there.
That's right. It has an orange stem.
Right.
I didn't notice that.
Right.
Well, that would be something I would definitely add in a picture if I was drawing this leaf on this part of the bank of the brook. And there are all kinds of animals that actually live near the water.
You mean there could be animals right around here that we
don't
see?
Well, there's one right there.
Where?
Right below us under this moist piece of bark.
Wow, there is. What is this?
This is an eft, a red eft. It's one of my favorite animals because it's so colorful and so cute. Look here.
He looks like a salamander.
It is a salamander.
It is a salamander.
It's a very dry salamander because it lives only in moist areas. It doesn't live right in water or in very wet areas. And if this was a moist-skinned salamander, we would have wanted to wet our hands in the water before we handled him. Just so we don't take any of the slime off of its body.
Right.
When this eft gets to be a certain age, it'll migrate to a deep water pond, and it'll swim in the water, and it'll actually change into an entirely different animal.
Really?
It'll be a swimming newt. It'll turn green. It'll have a flatter tail for swimming. It'll have little red spots. Look at that. Maybe we should let him go.
Yeah. We'll put him back.
Jim, do any animals ever come down here while you're watching?
Well, actually, they do. Once I was at a brook very much like this, and three deer came down to drink right while I was there. And I was very excited. And I kept extremely quiet so I wouldn't scare them off. Mm-hmm. And I went home with that experience, and it was the basis and the inspiration for the words and pictures of a book I wrote called Deer at the Brook.
Deer at the Brook. The brook is a sparkling place. Sunlight on water, water on stones. The brook is a place deer come to. Some come alone. Some come together. Mothers bring their fawns to drink.
And to eat.
They walk in the water. They watch the fish leap. They play on the sandy bank and nap in the sun. Sunlight on water, water on stones. The brook is a sparkling place.
LeVar, we're coming up to a beaver pond.
Okay.
And the beavers may be out, so we have to sneak. Okay, and maybe we'll get a chance to see them.
Right.
Now, when you sneak up on wild animals, you have to get real low, pretend like you're a tree stump.
Okay.
But you're moving slowly along.
Okay.
Now, the wind is in our favor, so they won't be able to smell us.
We're downwind of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, you have to look out over onto the dam. That's where they'll be.
Nobody's home.
No. They're probably in their lodge. Listen, while we're here, though, why don't we just walk down onto the dam and see what it looks like up close? We've got our waders on.
We can actually walk right on top of it?
Sure, let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, look.
Whoa.
It's a mink. What's he have in his mouth there?
It looks like a fish. He ran up over the dam.
Amazing.
Look here. This is the beaver's dam in the beginning stages.
Uh-huh.
First, the beaver will start damming a stream by bringing small vegetation that he chews off and pushing it up against the flow of the stream. And then he brings mud up from the bottom of the stream and packs it on. And as they work, the dam gets higher and the water raises, and they start adding bigger clumps. They bring things like this over. Huge clumps of vegetation. And they bring it over, put it in their dam, and bring mud up and pack it on. Well, you can see here where the beaver's front paw was packing the mud.
That's a beaver print right there.
That's right. Here's the toes. And after the dam gets to be a little higher, the beavers start bringing larger pieces of vegetation over.
Sticks and logs and things.
That's right. Uh-huh. This is a piece of a branch from a tree. And you can see where the beaver's teeth have cut it.
Yeah.
This looks like a small beaver because of the diameter of its teeth.
You can really see his teeth marks right there in the wood.
Yes, you can. And one of the neat things about beavers is that while they're working, they're eating.
Really?
That's right, because they like to eat the bark of wood. And so, before it brings it to the dam, it chews the bark off. Just like a piece of corn.
Uh-huh.
And if you're here in the evenings, when they're doing this,
mm-hmm.
when everything is quiet...
You can hear that?
You could hear the beaver's teeth. Now, here's a big piece the beavers put in.
Oh, and look at this, yeah.
This is a heavy piece.
You can really see the teeth marks here.
Yeah, and this is quite heavy, this piece, so we won't pick that up.
Okay.
You can see the size of some of the sticks in this dam.
Absolutely. They brought all of these sticks here?
Piece by piece.
That's amazing.
It is. But you know, they didn't carry them.
Well, how did they get here?
They floated them.
Down the stream.
That's right.
Well, that
That's why
sense.
Beavers make a pond.
Ah.
Because they're much more comfortable in the water, swimming, than they are on the land. Now, this dam is not complete yet. They'll keep building it, and the water will keep rising and rising.
So the dam's never finished?
Not really. And as long as the beavers maintain this dam mm-hmm. that we're standing on, there'll be a pond here.
Wow.
There's a beaver out there right now. Maybe he'll swim over.
You think he'll still come if we're standing here?
He may. I don't know if it's a he or a she, but it's a big one. Beavers aren't the only animals that'll live here.
What other sorts of animals will live out here?
Oh, there'll be ducks.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, and then there'll be fish-eating birds like herons and bitterns.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, there'll be muskrats, which are the little cousin to the beaver.
Ah.
Now, there's a muskrat house out there. You can see it with your binoculars if you look. Now, when I discovered muskrats were living in here besides beavers, I came down and I waited and I watched all the things they did and the things I saw them do. I put in a book, which I ended up calling Come Out Muskrats.
Come Out Muskrats. In late afternoon, when the cove becomes calm and tall cattails reflect in still water, it's time for the muskrats to come out of their house. Come out, muskrats, come out. Come out to swim in the shallows and eat green water weeds. Climb up on your house, then rub your fur dry, then dive in the water and get wet again. Swim between the lily pads. Race around the cattails. Go this way and that way. Through the setting sun. When it gets dark and the birds end their songs, stay out, muskrats, stay out. And swim until dawn.
You know, LeVar, the trail we're following now wasn't made by people.
Really?
No, this trail was made by porcupines, walking over and over the same ground day after day. When I come outdoors to look for things to sketch, I like to follow trails like this because they often lead to animal signs that give me ideas for pictures. Look here, there's a...
What do you see here?
Well, this tree, this is an aspen tree, and you can see where porcupines have actually climbed up this tree to eat the aspen leaves.
So these are scars from porcupine's claws.
That's right. They have great, long, sharp claws. And these, the darker scars are from years past, and that's where the tree has healed finally. And then you can look close here, and you can see lighter lines where fresh climbing marks have been made from the claws of porcupines.
Wow.
You know, this really suggests a picture to me, so if you don't mind, I'd like to do a drawing while we're here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You don't mind if I watch, do you?
Oh, no, I don't mind.
Okay.
When I start drawing an animal from an animal sign like this, I like to start with the place that the animal was. And in this case...
The tree.
That's right. So I'll add a couple branches. Here's a broken branch on this side. You start by outlining the quilled body, and then you imagine the body of the porcupine underneath the quills.
Mm.
Here's the porcupine's tiny little eye. Before I go any further, I better hold the porcupine on the tree.
With those claws?
That's right. And they could weigh up to 30 pounds, so you have to have good, strong claws to hold that porcupine on the tree. There's a tail. Now I'm going to separate the porcupine from the tree visually by adding some dark shading just very lightly first. Maybe we put some of those marks from porcupines in the past climbing the tree.
Some of those scars, huh?
That's right. Now I'm getting to the part where I should make the quills. The quills all look like this. Each one is long and comes to a point like that. Starting to look kind of real.
It looks just like a porcupine.
Mm-hmm. It's the one that's inside my brain, and I dug it out for you and put it on paper.
Mm-hmm. You know, through words and pictures, a wildlife writer takes you on an adventure with him. When you read books about animals and nature, it's almost as if you're hiding behind a tree, seeing them with your very own eyes. While Jim finishes his sketch, here are some other outdoor adventures that you can track down, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hello, everybody. I'm Diana Fisher, and I want to introduce you to a book that takes a look at the lives of many different animals. It's called Tree Trunk Traffic. This book is about a 70-year-old maple tree and all the animals that live in the tree or just come by to visit. A brother and sister squirrel live in a hole in the trunk. Their mom lives there too. They take naps piled on top of each other. Aren't they cute? There are some strange-looking insects that live in that tree too. One cicada crawled out of its skin and left it behind. The pictures are pretty photographs. I used to look at a tree as just a tree, but after reading Tree Trunk Traffic, I look at it as a home for lots of little animals. Why don't you add this book to your collection?
Hi, I'm Gregory. Sometimes you might think nature is far away from you, but it doesn't have to be. In my first nature book, you can learn about plants and animals in your own home. This book works like a magnifying glass. It helps you to discover things in nature up close. There are lots of great experiments to try. I like the one where we make the worm farm. You know, a farm for worms. All you need are some dead leaves, dirt, a jar, and of course, the most important ingredients, some worms. I like learning about nature. If you like learning about nature too, you must read my first nature book.
Did you know there's lots of different kinds of birds in your neighborhood? I just read a book of poems about birds. It's called Birdwatch. There are all kinds of poems in this book. Some are funny, like the one about the turkey. He ends up on a plate for Thanksgiving. And some of the poems are just beautiful and sweet. Like this one, Songbirds. Along the wires, like scattered notes, on lines of music, sit a row of birds. There are also poems about swans, robins, and woodpeckers. The birds on every page are beautiful paintings with lots of emotion and color. I'm Lisa Lee, and now that I read this book, I think I'm going bird watching. How about you?
There. I've added the last quill to my porcupine.
That's it?
That's it. And I'd like to sign this picture and give it to you as a memento of your visit.
Oh, Jim, thank you. This is beautiful. I will treasure this.
Well, I hope so. I'll treasure today.
You leaving?
Yep, I have to go.
Jim, I have really had a great time today. Thank you for sharing with me some of the secrets of watching wildlife.
Well, thank you for coming.
All righty. No matter where you live, animals live there too. And they leave clues about their lives that you can follow if you look closely. So keep your eyes open and remember, when you're watching wildlife, there's probably some wildlife watching you. We'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Raccoons and Ripe Corn by Jim Arnosky, published by Lothrop Lee and Shepherd Books. Deer at the Brook by Jim Arnosky, published by Lothrop Lee and Shepherd Books. Come Out Muskrats by Jim Arnosky, published by Lothrop Lee and Shepherd Books. Tree Trunk Traffic, text and photographs by Bianca Lavies, published by Dutton Children's Books, a division of Penguin Books USA, Incorporated. My First Nature Book by Angela Wilkes, published by Alfred A. Knopf. Birdwatch by Jane Yolen, illustrated by Ted Lewin, published by Philomel Books.